today. I mean, I've gotten emails and text messages from people saying, we can't come, we're not going to come because we don't know what the weather's doing. We also have some of our folks already on the road. They were trying to get ahead of the storm because they had to go places. But I'm glad you're here today, all right? How's your weekend been? Has it been a good one so far? All right, so far. All right, I'm glad. For those of you that are not been here, welcome. We're glad you're here. We're in this new sermon series that we started a few weeks ago called Truth, How Do You Know When You Hear It? And one of our praise team members noticed something, and they told me on the way out. They said, if you look at the word truth, you remove the T, what do you got? Ruth. So thank you, Miss Ruth, for being part of truth, all right? In a most in a recent national poll, 77% of Americans state that they believe that we as a nation are on a decline in terms of morals and values. That as a nation, we once had an agreed upon standard of what was right and wrong, what was moral, what was immoral, but now we're in this huge state of decline nationally. I call it a crisis of credibility. And if you look everywhere, there is corruption in every system in our country. You look at sports, you look at politics, you look at the entertainment industry, you look at business. You can even find corruption in churches. I mean, there is corruption that's widespread through our nation right now. And when I looked at that, and as I look at it, I go, what is the cause for this kind of moral decay? Two words, truth decay. So this morning and next week, I'm going to make a play on the word tooth decay. Okay? There is truth decay in our nation. Jesus said this in John 8:32. He said, look, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? It sets you free. So here's your first fill-in. Freedom comes from truth. That's how you get freedom. It comes from truth. And as long as you go to the truth, the absolute truth of Scripture, your life will be a free life. Now, the opposite is true also. If you get rid of truth, you're going to lose your freedom. And so we live in a culture of what I call truth decay. It's kind of like you don't really know you have tooth decay until it's too late. You know, your body doesn't immediately say, hey, we got a problem here. By the time you realize there's pain in a tooth, you got to have a cavity. It's already there. You didn't know it was there until eventually the pain came. And so there's this gradual, slow process of that tooth decay. And in our nation, there has been this slow process of truth decay. Growing up in this country 50 years ago, there was an agreed upon standard of right and wrong. I heard it at church, I heard it at school, I heard it in the work, I heard it in the neighborhood. Everywhere I went, we as a nation had an agreed upon standard of right and wrong. And over the last 40 or 50 years, there has been this decay, this decline in what we define as right and wrong. And now in our culture, what is viewed, we would call right, they call wrong, and what we would call wrong, they call right. And so there's been this slippage, this moral decline. And now people just kind of make up their own decision what's right and wrong for their lives. And a lot of people claim even today there's no such thing as absolute truth. There's no such thing as an absolute right or wrong. And as a result of that, they lose their freedom eventually. This past week, I was reading lots of articles for illustrations to try to give you an understanding of what I'm talking about. And just a couple of years ago, a judge had to declare a mistrial in a case involving a young mother. She had taken her 10-year-old daughter, cut off her arms, and her daughter died. When it went to the jury became deadlocked. The jury had a big fight, and here's what they were fighting over. They could not come to a conclusion if the woman knew what she did was wrong. So the judge had to declare a mistrial, and this woman walked free, having murdered her daughter, because a jury could not decide if she knew the difference between right and wrong. When I read that, I was shocked. Because up until this point, she had lived a life that demonstrated she knew the difference between right and wrong. I never thought in my lifetime a mother could murder her child and get away with it. But that's where we are. And so now we live in a culture that says there's no right, there's no wrong. What's right for me is for me to decide. What's wrong for me, it's up to me to decide. And it's not you to tell me which is right or wrong for me. Now, that belief, here's your next feeling. That belief in such a thing, as there is no such thing as absolute truth, is called relativism. That's the big fancy word. Okay, relativism means there are no absolute truths, no absolute beliefs. And what's interesting about that is a very convenient belief because it gets you off the hook for just about anything. It gives you an excuse. Okay, this is why in those big liberal controlled cities, they're not going after people looting because they say, look, what they're doing, they've been disenfranchised, they've been on the peripheral, they've been on the fringe, and so they're entitled to a little looting. Just recently, the new district attorney in New York City said he will not bring charges against anyone for basically anything other than flat-out murder. Anything else, he will consider it a misdemeanor. And this is where we are as a nation, okay? And due to personal freedom, morality, what's right, what's wrong, is now up for each person to decide for themselves. And it's basically a get-out-of-jail-free card now. So let's go back and look at our verse. Jesus said this, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, he's not talking about a truth. He's talking about the truth. A truth will not set you free, but the truth will set you free. This goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we started this whole series, when I identified those six different worldviews, cultural worldviews. And in that, I told you about a myth called the sincerity myth. And the sincerity myth says, as long as I'm sincere in what I'm doing, I'm free to do it. But the problem with that is you can be sincerely wrong. All of us at times have been sincerely wrong. All of us. I have and you have. In 1989, a man named Larry Mahoney went to a local bar in Kentucky. He got three sheets to the wind. I mean, he was plastered. He got on I-71. The problem is he got on the ramp that took him into oncoming traffic. He was not driving with the traffic, but he sincerely believed he was doing the right thing. His truck plowed into a church bus with 67 people on it, most of which were teenagers coming back from a trip up to an amusement park. The gas tank exploded, 27 children burned to death, along with three adults. But he was sincere. He sincerely believed he was driving in the right direction. And today it's called the Carrollton bus crash. Let's think about it. If you went out today, you're going to take a trip, maybe not today because of the weather, but if you were to get on I-40, let's say you took the wrong ramp. And as you're going down that ramp, people blowing their horns, like, no, you're going in the wrong way. You're going on the wrong way. You just say, shut up, Buster. What's right for me is right for me. You don't have the right to tell me what's wrong for me. Well, you're going to find out what's wrong for you. And so relativism is built on the idea there are no absolutes at all, which is absolutely illogical and unreasonable because we live in a world where there are absolutes. Okay? For example, when people say, I've had people say this, there are no absolutes. And I go, are you absolutely sure about that? There are no absolutes. See, when you say there are no absolutes, you've just made a what? An absolute. I mean, when you go to the pharmacy with a prescription, do you just say to the pharmacy, I know what this is, just give me what you want? Or do you want the pharmacist to say, you know, I don't have this. This is for migraines, but I can give you something for constipation. Now, when you go and give a prescription to the pharmacist, you want him to give you absolutely what's written on that prescription, absolutely the right dosage, right? That's what you want. You want it to be absolutely true. And when NASA sends astronauts to the moon, they don't want them to miss it. They have put in backup systems after backup systems to make absolutely sure those astronauts and that lunar module land exactly where they want them to on the moon. What about it? Stop signs. What if our stop sign says, I know this says stop, but you decide what you want to do. What do you think traffic would be like on College Road? Like in Mexico. You ever been there? Those people don't honor stop signs at all. They'll cross five lanes just to get anywhere. Okay? How many of you have ever played Scrabble? All right. Let's say you're playing Scrabble. And person sitting across you, maybe they're a friend or family member, and they go, oh man, I'm going to get 57 Scrabble points when I put this word down here. And they put down the word gammon. And you go, gammon? That's not a word? They go, yes, it is. Why? No, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. We say it in our house all the time, gammon. That's a word. And what do? You appeal to a higher authority to see if it's a word. What do? Get the dictionary out. Look it up, see if gammon's in there. Well, gammon's not in the dictionary. And so that you don't get your 57 points. Okay? And so we live in a culture today that does not want a universal standard to tell us whether gammon is a word or not a word. See, relativism, it states that tolerance is more valuable than truth. And the supreme value in our culture has become tolerance. It's more important to be tolerant than it is to be truthful. In fact, if you're truthful, our culture will accuse you of being intolerant. How dare you say this is wrong? How dare you say this is immoral? How dare you say this? It's what I say is good for me, so then it's good for me. You don't have the right to say that. It's not anymore. We've even redefined the word tolerance. When I was growing up, the word tolerance simply meant, I don't necessarily agree with your opinion on politics or whatever this is. I don't agree with you, but I will still be respectful of your opinion. Tolerance today does not mean that. Tolerance today means that all ideas are equally valid. That's what it means. All ideas are equally valid. Well, that's stupid too. If I say the moon is made of a rock, and you go, no, I've watched enough TV. The moon's made of Swiss cheese. Those two ideas are not equally valid. If I state, the earth rotates around the sun, and you go, no, the sun rotates around the earth, those are not equally valid ideas. If you say the earth is flat, and I say, no, the earth is round, those are not equally valid ideas. There are a lot of things in life that will always be absolutely true and absolutely false, no matter what our culture says. Okay? For example, in recent years, they've made a lot of discoveries about DNA and the genomes and sequencing and all that stuff. And they go, we got this wonderful truth. Well, listen, it was there all along. They just hadn't discovered it. It's not like God all of a sudden said, all right, I'm going to create something new. And so today is, if you are not tolerant, as they define it, you're being judgmental, condemning of people. In fact, they'll say, if you tell me this is wrong, you're being judgmental and condemning. How dare you say this is wrong? Well, let's say, for example, you're in an accident this afternoon, and I walk up and I see you're bleeding to death. I mean, you're bleeding to death. And I say, you need to let me call the paramedics and get an ambulance here for you. You're bleeding to death. Are you really going to say to me, I don't want to hear that. You're being judgmental. No, I'm just telling you the truth. You're bleeding to death, and you need an ambulance. But our culture today says, if you tell people the truth, you're being judgmental, you're being condemning. And so what I want to do is give you several results of what has happened now as a nation and as a culture. We've made tolerance the supreme value rather than absolute truth. Here's the first result of that. Number one, immaturity. And what's the proof of that? People are less willing to accept responsibility for their wrong. That's the first result. Immaturity happens when we value tolerance over truth. And our culture is becoming more and more immature every day. Because we have no longer have this agreed upon standard of right and wrong, what's moral, what's immoral, what's ethical, unethical. It's now up to each individual to decide that for themselves because of their personal freedom. Therefore, we are now becoming less responsible for our freedom. So I can act like a kid, I can act like a juvenile, I can expect the government or someone else to provide for me, I can pass the buck, okay? I can change my mind, I can think this way this morning and have the opposite view that afternoon because it suits what's best for me, because there's no absolute right or wrong. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:14. Let us no longer be like immature children, pray for predators of lies, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone else has told us something different or has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like truth. It's kind of like when you were in junior high school and rumors would circulate through your school and you would begin to believe them until someone told you, no, that's not true, okay? But the gossip would continue until someone corrected it. I mean, have you ever noticed how frequently teenagers change their minds? You ever raised a teen? I mean, just getting dressed. They'll go through a whole wardrobe just trying to get dressed for school. Have you ever noticed that preschoolers don't automatically keep their rooms clean? Why? Because they're immature. They're irresponsible. And as a nation and as a culture, we're becoming more and more immature. Look at Proverbs 29:18. It says this. A nation without God's guidance is a nation without what? Order. And that's where we are today. Because we're acting immaturely. The ability to know the difference between right and wrong is maturity. And every parent, their ultimate goal for their kids, it is for us, for them. As you're raising your kids, you want them to be able, when they're in a situation where they're not around you and they're pressured to do something that's wrong, they choose to be mature and do what's right. That's the goal of parenting. But we live in a culture today that says no one's responsible for anything, and that's why we have all of this immaturity going on. And so for each of these results, what I thought I would do is stick in something that would personally challenge each of us. And in your devotional guide this week, these questions will reappear for you to look at this week. So all of us are guilty of all of these things I'm going to share with you at different points and times in our life. Hopefully, we are not consistently doing these. But I want you to ask yourself some questions this week. Here's the questions. When do I act childish? When do I tend to be irresponsible? When do I pass the buck? In what areas of my life do I tend to blame other people, especially when it comes to my own unhappiness? Happiness is a choice. You choose to be happy or choose to be unhappy. And we have a whole culture today blaming people for their unhappiness. When we go to the New Testament, we see the Old Testament disciples whipped, beaten, and in chains. And they're praising God. Why? Because it's a choice. It's a choice. But it's so easy to blame everybody else for our unhappiness. Why? Immaturity. So where are you being childish? Where are you being irresponsible? When you are confronted about something, you make an excuse for it. That's immaturity. And you have bought the lie from our culture that it's better to be immature than mature. Here's the second result. That's going on with our now choosing tolerance over truth, immorality. And the proof is people do whatever they want to do. Now, when you hear the word immorality, you're naturally going to think sexual immorality, but there's more to it than sexual immorality. All immorality means is no morals. That's all it means. You have no morals. And that can be in ethics, in terms of business practices. That could be in being honest about your tax returns. You have no morals. And so today we have this whole culture that's living immoral lives because there's no standard about what's right or wrong or moral or immoral. If it feels good to me, I do. If it works for me, I do it. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago in those worldviews of hedonism and pragmatism. Okay? If it feels good, I'm going to do it. If it works for me, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it does to anybody else. I don't care the consequences it has on anybody else. If it works for me, I'm going to do it. There's a verse in the Bible where the Hebrews, the Jews, thought the same thing. Look at Judges 17:6, and the same verse is repeated in Judges 21:25. In those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Everyone did what they thought was right in their own eyes. And that's America today. Everybody's doing what they think is right in their own eyes, okay? And as a result of that, we have a whole culture living immoral lives, making choices based on what feels good to them or what works for them, not necessarily what's right for them. And so we are preoccupied with ourselves. We're very narcissistic about ourselves. We push our lives, our goals, what's best for me, what works for me, over the best of our culture and society. And we really don't care if it hurts anyone else. In Ephesians 4:19, the Bible says this, they don't care anymore about right and wrong. And they've given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. They say, I don't care what God says. There's no right or wrong. In the church, we have taught ever since our existence, God says sex and sexual, any kind of sexual behavior, has to be within the confines of marriage. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. But our culture says, you don't have the right to tell me that. I'm going to make up my own truth. If it works for me, I'll move in with somebody. If I want to have casual sex with somebody, I'll have casual sex. If it works for me, if it feels good for me, that's what I'm going to do. I don't believe in this absolute truth from God. And so we have a whole culture, a whole nation now living immoral lives. And the thing about doing that is that when you first sin, first commit a wrong, it bugs you. You're going to feel guilty about it. But the more you do it, the more you do it, the less guilty you feel, to where you harden your heart to hear the voice of God in it. Look at Proverbs 14:9. It says this, the stupid ridicule right and wrong. You need to tattoo that one on your body. The stupid ridicule right and wrong. And how do you know there's truth decay in your own life? You start rationalizing things. You've heard me say this over and over. Anytime you rationalize, you're making up rational lies. You're giving excuses for your behavior that's wrong before God's sight. Anytime you rationalize anything, you're making up rational lies. Your heart says, don't do this, but you rationalize why you should do it. So, here are the questions I want you to ask yourself this week when it comes to this. What am I trying to rationalize in my life? I'm not just talking about the little simple things. I mean, not just the big things, but the simple things as well. Like, you know, I'm just too busy. I don't have enough time to spend time with my kids or work. I don't have enough time to get exercise. I don't have enough time to get rest. I don't have enough time to get sleep. You're rationalizing because I got this. Here's how you know you are. When you're confronted about it, your statement is, yes, you're right, but. Where are you? Yeah, you're right, but. That's the sign of immorality. You're excusing your behavior with a but. So we have, so far in our truth decay, immaturity. We have immorality. Here's the third thing that has happened in our culture when now that we have substituted tolerance for truth, unreality. Proof, people become gullible to believe anything. When people stop believing the truth, they'll believe anything. When they stop believing what's right and wrong, they're gullible to believe anything. I mean, there are people out there, get this, they put stock in crystals. If you're watching right now, it's just a stupid rock. That's all it is. There are people out there that put stock in tea leaves. It's just tea leaves. You could brew it, put sugar in it, and drink it for lunch. You know the one that really gets me about Christians? I hope this is none of you. I hope none of you read your horoscope. That's from the devil. There is no such truth that some constellation determines the destiny and what goes on in your life. We call it a horoscope for a reason, because as it scopes out your life, it will bring horror into it. There are people out there that say, I don't believe there's a God, but they believe in UFOs. Area 51. You know, they crashed in 1947. They got them stocked away in there somewhere in some cryogenic freeze. Look what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians. The anarchist's coming is all Satan's work. All his power and signs and miracles are fake. Evil sleight of hand that plays into the gallery of those who hate the truth that could save them. And since they're so obsessed with tolerating evil, God rubs their noses in it, gives them what they want. And since they refuse to trust truth, they're banished to their chosen world of lies and illusions. And I pray that none of you are doing this. It's easy to fall for illusions in our culture. For example, here's an illusion. The illusion is having more will make me more secure, happy, and valuable. That's a big illusion. Having more will not necessarily make you happy and successful. There are millionaires and billionaires that have more and get more, and they're unhappy people. All having more means is you have more. That's it. Even well-intentioned Christians can buy into this life. I just have the bigger house, the bigger car, the bigger this, have more of this. My life will be happy, successful. No. All that just means is you've bought into the big lie. Okay? And we live in a culture today that loves to blend some fact with a lot of fiction. You notice that? They'll blend some fact with a lot of fiction. Now, you may not be out there burning tea leaves that you believe are going to tell you something. But today we have TV producers and movie producers who are out there, and they write all these stories. They say these are real stories based on real people. We've looked at the facts, and now we're going to call this a docudrama. It's all lies. All of it's lies. Because they take a little bit of truth, and they blend it with a lot of fiction. Oliver Stone made a lot of movies this way. His movie Nixon takes a little bit of truth and blends a lot of fiction in it. DailyHistory.org decided they would evaluate how much was factual in the movie Nixon. They said very little. In fact, at the very beginning of the movie, it says this is based on true facts. They said there's very little true facts in it. So basically what Oliver Stone did is put his own statement about politics in America in the movie Nixon. And we have a lot of movies out there that are based on true stories, but are loaded with fiction. Amistad, Pocahontas, 300, JFK, The Patriot, Argo, Braveheart, Alexander, Beautiful Mind, Marie Antoinette, Pearl Harbor, Apocalypto, and, of all things, The Sound of Music. In The Sound of Music, Christopher Plummer plays his father, who's militaristic and mean. In real life, he was the best dad ever. But they portrayed him as mean and militaristic. They also have them escaping to the Alps in Switzerland. That never happened. Why? The Nazis were there. They would have been taken captive. They went to Italy, but you don't see that. It makes for a great movie, but a lot of The Sound of Music is based on fiction. It's lies to get you to watch it. Janet Blair is a journalist. She won a Pulitzer, Jason Blair, with the New York Times. And he got caught in one of the biggest lies ever. He wrote all these articles, published them, said these were based on facts. But when his facts were checked, they were based on lies. And he had to come out with a retraction about the Beltway sniper, if you remember that. NBC Brian Williams lost his job because he swore up and down he'd been in a helicopter in Iraq that was shot down and crashed. Never, ever happened. Pulitzer winner Bob Woodward lied about threats he said he received from President Obama's team. Never, never happened. And he had to eventually come out and say he made it up. Janet Cook, a reporter, won a Pulitzer for a story she did on an 8-year-old child who was addicted to heroin. Comes to find out, it was all lies. There was no 8-year-old child addicted to heroin. It made for a great news story. She got a Pulitzer from it, but then she had to give it back. And one of the biggest scandals happened on Oprah. She has this, I didn't know this, she has something called a book club. She had a guy on there named James Fry. He'd written a book called A Million Little Pieces. He said this book was a true story about a 23-year-old man who got addicted to alcohol and drugs and all kinds of things, and he nearly died until he got into a 12-step program. And from that 12-step program, he found freedom and liberation from all of his addictions. The only problem was, it was a lie. It was not based on anybody. He just made it up, sold the book. It sold millions because it got into Oprah's best book list and people bought it. And when it was discovered he had lied and made it up, he had to come back onto Oprah, apologize, and said he lied. And it was so bad publicity, Random House said, we will refund anybody the full amount if they bought this book and don't like it. I remember when this book and movie came out. Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. How many of you remember that? It was all lies. None of it was based. In fact, at the very beginning of his book, he says, this book is based on actual facts. No, it is not. It was just a docudrama filled with a bunch of fiction. That's all it was. And what bothered me more about this is that while society came out and criticized all these other people for faking and lying, nobody criticized Dan Brown. Why? Because it's okay to lie about the church, to lie about Christianity, to lie about our faith. So in a world of unreality, we blend fact and fiction because we don't value truth anymore. In entertainment, Hollywood does this so well. Think about it. They love doing this so well, taking a little bit of fact, turning it into this big fiction, convincing us that's real, that in the end, they have their own worship service to reward themselves for this, called the Oscars, the Emmys, the Grammys. And they reward themselves for all of these lies. And then they put out all these magazines with the front covers of people and us, all these Hollywood celebrities, like there's somebody awesome. I ask myself, why do they deserve this adulation? Entire magazines committed to this. Why do they deserve such adulation and such recognition? They're just pretending. They're just faking it. They're just getting you to believe an illusion. It makes sense in a society that doesn't value truth that the people we value the most are the people who are best at faking it, pretending it, acting like it's real when it is not. Have you ever noticed how many reality TV shows there are on TV these days? I thought, how many of these things are real? The Washington Post just did a story about them and said this: reality shows are for the most part scripted. About 70 to 80% of reality shows is fake. The only thing real about them are the human actors. Even Duck Dynasty, some of you loved, was scripted. It was staged. It looked like it was real. It looked like this is what really goes on in their house, but it was not. It was scripted. It was staged so that the network would make money. And you bought it lock, stock, and barrel. To me, the real heroes in our culture, in America, are school teachers, paramedics, nurses, doctors, therapists, police officers, and especially our soldiers. These are the people we should be adoring. Yet, I have never seen a magazine called Just for the Best Teachers in America. Look what these teachers are doing. You don't see that. You don't see teachers and the people who really make the difference in our culture honored and appreciated for the work they do. And if you want to know there's truth decay in your own life, just look where you're faking it. When you come here on Sunday mornings and Steve gets us up to sing, are you just going through the motions? I don't like those songs. I don't care if it's a hymn. I don't care if it's Southern gospel. I don't care what we're singing. I'm not going to stand here in this service and tell God he's not worth my worship. Are you faking it in worship? Because you just don't like something? So, to make this personal, here are the questions you need to ask yourself this week. Where am I faking it? Or what am I faking? Or what am I pretending? Where are you faking it? What are you faking? What are you pretending? We all do this at times. I'm just as guilty as you are. But we have to go back and evaluate ourselves. Are we going to allow our lives to be governed by absolute truth? Or what works best for us? The Bible says this in Psalm 26:4. Do not associate with anyone who is deceitful, unethical, or who fakes and pretends a lie is the truth. So what else happens when we substitute tolerance for truth? Here's the next one. Illegality. The proof is people argue and dismiss their wrongs on technicalities. And if there's no standard of right or wrong, then anything can become legal. All law is built on the idea that there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. If there's no right or wrong, then anything is allowable and anything can become legal. I remember doing the Bill Clinton impeachment trial. I don't know how many of you remember this. He redirected by getting in an argument about what the verb is meant. You remember that? And networks were all, well, what does the word is mean then? And he got them. He took them. Because he was redirecting from the scandal he had with Monica Lewinsky. So in our culture, it doesn't matter if you murder, because you can get off on a technicality. And when murderers go free because of technicalities, that's called truth decay. It doesn't matter what the truth is. What matters is the technicality of it. And the truth decay is here. Nobody in Enron, Tyco, or MCI, or any of these mammoth organizations that collapsed under the billions of dollars they laundered and spent, started out saying, well, this get $500 billion from investors and let's just blow it. None of them started out that way. But they eventually ended up that way. They eventually ended up saying, let's create a lie to steal tons of money, waste it, and they eventually went bankrupt. All scandals start out with people deciding, well, I cross a line that I should not cross. And even in our culture, we do this. I don't know why we use this phrase. We'll say, well, that was just a little white lie. Like lies have colors. They don't. A lie is a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. God doesn't look down and go, oh, Kelly, you just told a little white lie. No, it's a lie. And you see, that's how we rationalize it. It's a little white lie, so I'm not responsible anymore. And when truth goes out the window, then anything is up to you to decide what's right or wrong. I don't know if you recognize this name, Marilyn Mosby. She is Baltimore City State District Attorney. She has worked hard to get some of the worst criminals reduced charges on technicalities, while at the same time she's brought charges against her own police force. Luther Trent decided he was mad with his ex-girlfriend, and he set fire to her house. In it was her and two other friends. He burned the house down and almost killed them in the process. He was charged with 16 counts of felonies initially. She got it dropped to 10, got it dropped to 1, and that one was he served no jail time as long as he honored his probationary period. The man tried to murder 3 people, and he got away with it. And even in fact, when he was interviewed on national TV, he goes, I should be in jail. This is what he said. I should be in jail. I tried to murder 3 people. But the system says I'm not responsible for that. Some of you may not be familiar with this myth. It's called the Titanic myth. The Titanic myth says that if we compartmentalize the stuff that is wrong, we can't sink. Until the Titanic came around, all ships had one singular hull. That's all they had. If they hit an iceberg, they were doomed to sink. But with the building of the Titanic, the engineers decided, let's not have one singular hull, let's have multiple hulls. Therefore, as there is a breach in that hull, we can seal it, contain the water, and the ship will not sink. That was, in theory, what they thought would happen. But you all know the story of the Titanic. Even with the compartmentalized hulls, it sank. And if you compartmentalize your life, you're in for disaster, because you're going to experience the Titanic myth, and that is you're going to sink. You think, I've got this little thing over here, I'm going to compartmentalize this wrong over here, and I'm going to compartmentalize this wrong over here. I'm going to compartmentalize what I'm doing at work. Yeah, I'm using my work's copier to print off personal things. They don't care. They got so much money, it doesn't really matter. So we compartmentalize the wrong we're doing. And as your pastor loves you, I don't want you to do that. Don't compartmentalize wrong. Why? Because when you compartmentalize your life, there's a word for that. It's called lack of integrity. The word integrity comes from the word integer, a math term, if you remember math. Integer means whole. It means not fractured. So integrity means your life is integrated. It's not compartmentalized. It's a complete whole. You cannot have integrity in your life that is compartmentalized. If you compartmentalize your sex life or your spending life or your tax life, whatever it is, you don't have integrity. You've got compartmentalization. That's what you've got, and you're going to sink for it. Integrity means it's one big stew. That's all it is. The way you act at home is the way you act publicly. The way you are at work is the way you are with neighbors. You don't act differently at church and then go to parties and act totally different. You don't wear a mask, unless the mask I'm talking about, to keep yourself from COVID. But we have a culture today that's faking it, that's phony. You're the same with everybody. And if you compartmentalize your life, you're going to take on symbolically some water and you could sink. Proverbs 29:18 says this, when there is ignorance of God, crime runs wild. It was interesting to me in 1980, they outlawed putting the Ten Commandments in schoolrooms where the standards of moral truths were accepted by Jews, Christians, and Muslims. They took out the Ten Commandments out of the classrooms. They took it all out, and now what's happened? Our kids are no longer reminded there is a universal agreed upon standard of right and wrong, and so Why are we shocked when there's Columbine, Oregon, or Kentucky? Why are we shocked when kids go in and kill kids with guns in their schools? We have taught them for years there is no right or wrong. Just recently, a transgender professor at Old Dominion University by the name of Aileen Walker wrote a book in which she, which now he says he's a he, argues that our culture should no longer call pedophiles pedophiles. He said the correct term should be adults attracted to minors. Because he said the word pedophile is too harsh. It's too stereotypical. It's too judgmental. It's too condemning. And just flat out, it's wrong. And though he states he's not advocating for the sexual abuse of children, he says we have to admit, as a culture, there are adults who have a non-sexual attraction to minors. And there's nothing wrong in that. But when you read the book, what he's defining, it's not what you think and I think. All of us in this room, we have a natural attraction to minors. We love children. You've seen me chasing kids all around the sanctuary. There's nothing wrong in that, but that's not what he's talking about. In fact, USA Today published his article. I mean, they wrote, this is so awesome, this is so right. It was such a scandal, USA Today not only retracted it, they deleted it from everything it had hit the internet with. A pedophile will always be a pedophile, no matter what term we use. I mean, did you ever think you'd live in a country where they're pushing to the endorsement of pedophilia? There's a group out there called NAMBLA, the National Association of Men, Boy, Love. They're working in states to get the age of consent dropped down from 18 to 16 or to 14. They have been successful in some states now. In some states, the age of consent of a minor having any kind of sexual relation with anyone that's an adult, it is permissible as long as that adult is no more than 10 years older. So if you're 14 and you have a sexual relation with a 23-year-old, whether if it's male or female, that's okay in that state by law as long as it was agreed upon by both parties. What do you think? Did you ever think we'd be in a nation like this? And we keep putting our heads in the sand thinking it's going to go away. Southside, this is not going away. And we, as a people, need to vote the people in that will stop this stuff. If truth decay is not stopped eventually, anarchy happens. That's what's happening. We're becoming so fragmented as a nation. There's so many now, these little groups out there, we're ripping apart at the seams. We're headed to a massive sinking like the Titanic. So to make this personal in your own life, ask yourself this question. Am I cheating on the edges? Edges meaning, are you totally honest on like your tax returns? Are you cheating on the edges? Here's a fifth thing that has happened now that we replaced tolerance with truth. Idolatry. The proof is people flip-flop values and priorities. They idolize the wrong things. As a result, wrong is now right, right is now wrong, good is now bad, and bad is now good. When I don't know the difference between right and wrong, I don't know that this is truth and this is a lie, when there are no absolute morals in my life, then I can do basically anything I want to do. And as a result, I'll worship that. Our society idolizes wealth. It idolizes success. It idolizes athletic ability. It idolizes physical beauty. It idolizes intelligence. We idolize popularity in cars and homes and things like that. We idolize just about everything in this culture. But they don't deserve our worship. They don't need to be the top thing in our life. There's nothing wrong in having money, being wealthy, having a nice home, nice car. That's not what I'm talking about. It's when it becomes the god of your life. That's when truth decay begins. And what we have now is good is bad, is good, right is wrong, wrong is right. One of the ways we see this today, I don't know if you've noticed this, today we turn criminals into celebrities. We give them a multi-million-dollar book contract and let them go on tours making more money from the horrible crimes they've committed against our society. Let me show you another horrible crime. Since abortion became legal, in America, we have murdered 63,459,781 innocent American babies. Some churches today are celebrating Right to Life Sunday. We're going to celebrate it next Sunday. You could do it either Sunday. Listen to that. That's how many innocent babies our country has murdered. And if you don't think that breaks the heart of God, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you, I'm probably going to offend a bunch of you. If you vote for anybody that believes in abortion, I question whether you know Jesus Christ. That is wrong. It's wrong with God, and it should be wrong in our culture. TV constantly mocks and ridicules marriage, unless it's gay marriage, of course. Then it promotes it. Everything has become reversed in our culture. Paul says this in Romans 1:25. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. They worshiped the things, notice this, God made, but not the Creator himself. So here's how you make this personal for your own life. Ask yourself, what have I been idolizing? What has become a little bit too important to me? It's not necessarily wrong, but it's just a little bit too important to you. Maybe it's making a lot of money, which takes you away from being with your spouse and your children. There's nothing wrong in making a lot of money. There's nothing wrong in having a good job. But is it taking you away from what's really important? It's become an idol to you. Are you making excuses? Yeah, but when you're questioned about this, here's the sixth thing that has happened now that we've replaced tolerance with truth: injustice. People advocate an attitude of unfairness against Christians. Have you noticed this? This is now happening in America. There's this attitude of unfairness against Christians. In Isaiah 59:14, the Bible says, our courts oppose people who are righteous. Justice is no more where to be found. Truth falls dead in the street, and fairness has been outlawed. That's truth decay in our culture today. So let me quickly give you five ways this unfairness is being played out in our American culture. Here's the first one. Our culture, they have what I call exaggerated stereotypes about Christians. Hollywood is notorious for doing this when they portray a Christian in a TV show or a movie. They make them look stupid or bigoted or hateful or angry or condemning or backward, uneducated, or hypocritical. If you saw the movie Shawshank Redemption, the warden was supposed to be a dedicated Christian man who read his Bible every day, but he had no problem abusing the inmates in his care. That was wrong. They made us look stupid. Here's another way, a desire to displace Christians by marginalizing them from public life. Dr. Eric Walsh, a district health director in Georgia, was fired when the state learned that he had preached sermons in his church articulating orthodox Christian positions on sexuality and creation. He was in his own church preaching what the Bible says about sexual, and he lost his job for it. MSNBC personality Chris Matthews said this recently. If you are a politician and believe in God first, that's all good. Just don't run for government office. Run for church office. That's where we are today. Here's another way this unfairness is playing out in our culture. Using threats as a means to control opinion and personal views. Just this past year, we learned that the Biden administration and his Department of Justice, in conjunction with the National Teachers Education Union, they denied it until Congress, some wonderful senators, released these memos showing that they were going to declare those parents in Virginia as domestic terrorists and were going to use the Patriot Act against them. All because they were concerned about what was being taught in their schools. So they want to marginalize us. They say, we will come after you. We will threaten you. We will imprison you if you don't shut up. Here's another thing this is being played out today. Acts of intimidation to ban all Christians' expression in public life. Just recently, a Maryland middle school student was forced to stop reading her Bible at lunch. She wasn't reading it to other students. She was just sitting there reading her own Bible. But the administration said other students might see her reading her Bible and might be offended by that. So they banned her from reading her Bible during her lunch break. Just recently in California, parents sued to prevent psychological testing of first, third, and fifth graders because the test contained explicit sexual questions. They lost. Here's what the California Supreme Court ruled. Parents, listen to this, parents have no due process or right
to override the determinations of public schools as to the information to which their children would be exposed, even if the parents believe it is explicitly sexual. That's where we are today. In October 2014, a group of local pastors in Houston encouraged Christians to get together and sign a petition about this ordinance that was being passed about allowing people in Houston to choose whatever bathroom they wanted to choose to use. If you think you're a female and you want to go in the male, it's fine. If you think you're a man and you want to use the female, it's fine. And so all these pastors and churches got together and they signed this petition, and the mayor of the city issued subpoenas ordering every single pastor to turn in every sermon, email, text message, anything they had written or said about this issue so that she could bring charges against them. And she said, if you refuse to do this, I will have you arrested and thrown in jail. It hit such a national level, such pressure, she finally rescinded. But this is where we are headed. Here's the fifth way we see this. Using lawsuits in the courtroom to bankrupt and force small businesses owned by Christians to comply with their agenda. We saw this against Christian baker Jack Phillips in Colorado, who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple in 2012. It took 6 years for it to finally reach the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor, ruling that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had shown an impermissible hostility towards religion and had violated Jack Phillips' religious rights as protected by the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. But it took 6 years, and he almost became bankrupt from it. Southside, our culture is growing increasingly hostile to us who are Christians. Our culture is now viewing us in unfair ways. If you're gay or transgender, you're part of Black Lives Matter, you're part of Greenpeace or Sierra Club or Marxist or Communist, you've got an umbrella of fairness. But if you are a committed, conservative, evangelical Christian, you have a target on your back. Now, how do we solve this? The way we solve this, the way we reverse this tide is not through politics. It's not through legislation. It's by being people of the truth. You see, our government thinks we can just pass laws outlawing certain behavior. Remember what I told you last week. You can't change from the outside in. Change comes from the inside out. You have to change the heart, because what you believe determines your behavior. It's not the other way around. And they can make all the laws they want to outlaw this, outlaw that. But if you don't change people's heart, they don't change. And the best way we as a people can do that as Christians is live the truth, be light in the midst of this darkness. Stand for truth in a culture that says there's no absolute truth. Stand for truth in a culture where there's no absolute morality or right or wrong. I'm always amazed how liberals brag about how open-minded they are, but they're very closed-minded when it comes to Christians. And most of these people pushing for this anti-Christian attitude are extremely well-educated. Causes them to think, you know what? I've got my master's, I got my PhD, I'm smarter than you in this. You're stupid. You know what I call that? Arrogance. Pride, conceit. I mean, they're so open-minded, literally their brains leak out. Jesus said this in John 7:17. If you want to test my teachings and discover where I received them, first be passionate to do God's will, and then you'll be able to discern if my teachings are from the heart of God or from my own opinions. What is Jesus saying is, skeptics, if you want to know I'm teaching God's truth or just my own made-up truth, have a dialogue with me. Have a conversation with me. In our culture today, they don't even want to do that. They don't even have a conversation about does God exist or if what we believe is true. You see, you can't share truth with a closed mind. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says this, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. I told you earlier that relativism is the belief there is no absolute truth. Truth is determined by each individual based on their personal freedom. You know what the problem with our very liberal culture is? Remember that movie, A Few Good Men? And Colonel Jessup says, you can't handle the truth. They can't handle the truth. That's the real issue. And what is that lie that they keep perpetuating? is that tolerance is the best way to go rather than truth. You know, growing up, I was raised and taught by my school, my church, my teachers, my community, that I was created in God's image. We all were. Then I went off to college and it kind of changed. Professors argued that we need to make God in our own image. And now today, we have a new truth out there. And here's the new truth. Every person is their own God. That's where we are today. If you believe you're your own God, then you get to decide what's right or wrong for you, no matter what it does to someone else, no matter if it hurts them. You're not responsible because you are a God unto yourself. It's the same lie the serpent said to Adam and Eve. That old serpent lied to them, and he said this to them in Genesis 3:5. If you eat this fruit, you will be a God, knowing what is right and wrong for you. What a lie. Now, Southside, we're going to come back next week, and we're going to look, how do we deal with this truth decay? Truth, how do you know it when you hear it? Let's pray.